of movement that should begin, that should be at the beginning. And when you are a little more perfect, then the rhythm will come, because it's synchronization and rhythm. There are two things. There are 4, 5, 6 different things you are doing in a particular set, in a particular rhythm. You get my point? As you move forward, your elbows straighten, your shoulders come up, and then you pull in the perineum and the lower abdomen, then slowly start breathing out, but release the perineum and the lower abdomen. And then you again bend your elbow, again fall back. You see, all these are to be synchronized and in rhythm to the music. It will take a little time. I'm sure you'll come up to it. I'm very sure. How many of you have come with the Yoga Sutras rearranged? So most of you have come here with your hands and feet. What do I do with your hands and feet? You can't do anything with your hands and feet. You must come with your Yoga Sutras rearranged. Last time somebody had volunteered to make Xerox copies, so that all can get. Will somebody volunteer again to make Xerox copies? None? Please make them and give these friends. They are without it. Because from today, I want to go to the sutras. And if you come like this, doesn't make me happy. There are 20 at least. The whole block is here. I was checking. Okay. I find that 50% or more of you do not have the basic Hindu idea. Not the idea of many gods and goddesses and mandir, but the lofty, nobler, deeper idea of the Hindu philosophy. Without that, to understand the sutras, it's not possible. Because the sutras themselves form a very lofty type of thought, not easily understood. Today I want to go directly to the sutras, but we shall first think about the basic thought that is necessary to be aware of before we touch the sutras. I have not got many copies with me here today, but if you can find amongst 4, 5, 6 of you can keep this while I am talking to you, pass it on between 5, 6 of them. On the upper circle, the idea of creation. This blue color, there you will read absolute param satyam. Now it is such a state of high intensity that nothing can prevail. Then you have this darker shade, there you will read unmanifest absolute satyam. Even here, even though the vibrations are much less, nothing can exist. Then you see this third band, where you will read tapas, divine wholeness, absolute manifest. For the first time we come across the word manifest, meaning some possibility of creation. The vibrations are good enough for some type of creation. Divine wholeness. you might call it Paramatma, divine wholeness. Then you see the last band here, and you read divine fragments, jana, jana or divine fragment. If this is the divine wholeness, this is divine fragments. These are divine fragments. Here you see shape of human beings. Here there are no shapes because soul, atma, divine fragment has neither shape, nor texture, nor color. So you don't see anything. It's only for your understanding that only lines are shown there. You get your, get the point? Then you see a small circle therein, which is enlarged below, the same circle. Now if you turn and read at the back, what will you read? We get the word existence. We talked about creation. Now we have got the word existence. Is not projected out of divine wholeness, because nothing can exist out of divine wholeness. In a small part of divine wholeness is the domain of mind provided for, and chitti, or infinite mind, or universal divine mind, is the substance that occupies that space within divine wholeness. And in this bubble, I call it bubble. The sastras call it maya. I call it bubble. Bubble, why? Because maya may give us the idea of illusion, the idea of not existing. While the bubble gives an idea of existing, but if you touch, finish. You get my point. So I am using the word bubble. So, and in this bubble are the three universes, Svaha, Bhuva, Bhu, with Maha or Mahakal all around. This bubble, but that it may be better understood, existence is shown enlarged and separate. But it is not so. The bubble that is existence is the exile. It is shown enlarged for clarity. It is not outside of creation. The divine fragments can return to source and leave exile to reach their celestial home. Now we will see the bubble that is within the divine wholeness that is shown here. If you see this small little circle, this small little circle, you see a black line per circle. That is the limit of the bubble. It may be called ring pass knot. It may be called Lakshman Rekha. So that nothing in the bubble can pass through. It is a Lakshman Rekha. Do you get my point? Within this Lakshman Rekha, again you see those three colors, that means Swaha, Bhuva, Bhu. You see that? And when you see here human beings in Bhu, as we are here today, we are nothing but the same divine fragments that you see here with bodies. And if you see this code here, it shows in this Bhuva you need Dharmakaya, in this Bhuva you need Sambhogakaya, in this Bhu physical you need Nirmanakaya. You get the point. So from this bubble we make attempts to go out and reach the celestial home. From this bubble, Kartik made efforts to fill the bubble on his spaceship, Peacock. he went round. But the bubble is so huge, it is not easy to reach its end. But Ganesh, by non-attachment and by wisdom, he touched the bubble with his non-attachment and wisdom, and the bubble dissolved. So wherever and whenever, by certain practices, we come up to a state of non-attachment, non-attachment and wisdom, perception, this bubble is automatically broken, and we are then free to enter our celestial home. That means be our original self as we are. This is not our original self. You get my point? This is how it, let us begin first. I will give you, the notes are long. First book. So let us go through the notes and then we'll go to the first book. Fifth line. These are divine fragments of the divine wholeness, which is nothing but Satyam. So, all these can always exist together. There is never a time when nothing is not there, or anything of it is not there. Here the story is different, but here everything is always there. So the divine fragment, addressing divine wholeness, what does it say? If thou wast here before I was, I am not here at all. If I am not a part of thee, there is no such God at all. That is how divine fragment tells divine wholeness. That is why we have Shivoham and such other statements in the Tarsha. But when we say Shivoham, this cannot say it. This cannot say Shivoham. The divine fragment, the essence within can say Shivoham. Remember that. Satyam, Tapa, Jana is creation. You have got the chart with you. That is the celestial home. To measure in billions of years is to measure in moment that unending, vast, unending duration. Mahakal, you have seen that black circle. Mahakal is ring past north, shell or Lakshman Rekha. This is needed for each individual as human being, but not as divine fragment. Swaha, Bhuva, Bhu is existence bubble, the celestial bubble. Chitti is the substance of or from which all that exists in the bubble is created, namely vegetation, animal kingdom, all life, bodies, brain, states of mind, vidya, avidya. Chitti is pure awareness. All creations in the bubble partake of this awareness to a certain degree, depending on the state of communication existing between a created something and Chitti. When established unconsciously, it is wrong. When established consciously, it is right and methodical. But this is not the state of pattern in creation. Satyam is truth. Tapa, divine wholeness is truth. Jana, the many from the one, divine fragments, are also truth. And there are no degrees or shades of these truths in creation. Truth means cosmic consciousness. And in many as in one, it is of the same texture. In creation, there is no need of body, brain or mind. For these create different states of grade and degree. Body, brain, mind create uncertainty, probabilities and possibilities. All these may create a more lively state of existence due to suspense and due to uncertainty of events. But this is not so in creation. There it is always a state of truth, of certainty and of bliss. And hence, whatever is in creation, whether as Satyam or as Divine Wholeness Tapa or as the many from the one, the Divine Fragment, is a state of Sat-Chit Anand. But here, Chit is not implied as a state of mind, but as a state of certainty, as no graded or degrees of Sat or Anand exist. Infinite mind has no entry in creation. Please remember that. In this bubble is the talk of thee and me, of good and evil, of the millions of pairs of opposites, of mind and brain and body, of all the philosophies and all the religions and all this nonsense, all this seeking and finding and achieving. In this bubble, Chitti is supreme. But this bubble that is existence does exist. It is not imaginary. It is not Maya or illusion. Book 4 in the Sutras 12, the past and the present exist in reality. The form assumed in time concept of the present is the result of developed characteristics, the structure of acceptance, and holds latent seeds of future quality. This existence is very much there, but like any bubble, if touched, it is destroyed, it ceases to exist. But this celestial bubble that is existence is so vast that you cannot touch its size. And there is no need also to go in a spaceship to find and touch its size, as Kartik tried, as our modern scientists do. But when touched with non-attachment and wisdom, it is destroyed by each individual. But each individual must do it as was done by Ganesh. Sage Patanjali says, in the case of the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. Yet it existed for those who are yet not free. Those who cannot touch with wisdom and non-attachment remain in bondage. Now, to go under water, we need certain equipment. Or to go into deep space, we need a different type of equipment. Why? Because we cannot become the equipment. So the Divine Fragment, the many from the one, enter the celestial bubble willingly and they put on different equipments we call bodies. For Swaha, Bhuva, Hu, as Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. Why? Because they cannot become this body. As stated earlier, these bodies are part and parcel of Chitti. And as Chitti is pure awareness, all these bodies partake of awareness, varying by degree. These bodies are not separate, independently existing bodies, but are linked in a very sensitive manner. The state of avidya is the state of ignorance of this fact. And vidya is a state of knowing of this fact and also how to operate the link between them. When pure awareness drops below a certain level of awareness, it is a state of avidya. Above that level is a state of vidya. And these states of vidya and avidya are also in degrees of grace. All is relative in existence. When the state of pure awareness is reached by any created body-brain system, it realizes that it is merely an instrument or a body obstructing or encasing a divine fragment. This is the realization by experience and is not a mere intellectual concept. This is the moment when all existence bows before the divine fragment, which is Satya, and leads to the so-called moksha. But when body-brain system, that is known as a human being, reaches the state of pure awareness, it ceases to exist anymore as a body and merges to become one with Chitti. And so the encased divine fragment is free to return to creation, to celestial home. This basic understanding is required to properly understand the sutra. For the sutra states as to what is to be done with body-brain system and how communication is to be established with Chitti, so that the body-brain system would acquire the state of pure awareness. As the body-brain system comes nearer to the state of pure awareness, remember this, as the body-brain system comes nearer to the state of pure awareness, it acquires the various powers of Chitti itself, which are enumerated in the sutras and are very impressive. And as this happens, that particular body-brain system comes more and more in contact with the encased divine fragment also. When the body-brain system reaches the state of pure awareness, nothing further remains to be done. The state of isolated unity is reached and the divine fragment returns to creation. But in the sutras, we are at first informed about the state of body-brain system when it is at a low level of awareness, this state being of avidya. In this state, what would or does happen is also stated. How to improve and upgrade awareness of this body-brain system is also stated. So you see that the sutras are a composite and comprehensive total knowledge, and the instructions are given of reaching the state of pure awareness from the state of low awareness, that is from avidya to vidya. Till the state of pure awareness is not reached, the three qualities remain in a state of flux and slowly come to a state of rhythm only when the state of pure awareness is reached. The state of pure awareness is the fourth state. As long as the qualities are in a state of flux, modifications take place and partake of the qualities and create seeds of future repetitions. There is nothing mystical about the sutra. They are in fact scientific yoga practices. Modifications are all the five states as enumerated. But fancy includes brooding and daydreaming. And even sleep includes brooding and daydreaming. So perhaps a lesser degree we call dreams. The human brain cannot for a moment stand still, just like the lungs or heart. But the brain also makes use, consciously or unconsciously, of the qualities as latent therein. There are three functions that are tireless and continuous. Please remember this. There are three functions that are tireless and continuous. Circulation, heart, right or wrong. Breathing, lungs, right or wrong. Thinking, brain, right or wrong. All these three functions are linked in some manner. If breathing is controlled and is rhythmic, the thinking is controlled and is rhythmic, and the circulation is also controlled and is rhythmic, the pulse rate from 72 or more cuts down to 60 per minute. These three functions, this is again important, please note this, these three functions are parallel to similar functions in the psychic body that are not normally coordinated till breathing in the physical body is controlled and is rhythmic. These functions in the psychic body are circulation of prana, intake of prana, mental processes of mana equivalent to brain. The sutras show how the three functions in the physical body be brought in rhythm and coordinated with the three functions of the psychic body. Hence the opening sutra, book 1, 2. Now we have just seen on these upper circles that in creation everything is same. There are no grades, there are no degrees, whether it is divine fragment or divine wholeness, or whether it is satyam, it's all truth. So just as in the beginning divine fragment has said those four lines, the divine fragment can say once again, Om Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on the most supreme truth. That supreme truth is satyam. That supreme truth is divine wholeness, tapa. That supreme truth is divine fragment. I am one of the divine fragments and case. So I am that supreme truth, satyam. Where is there any cause of doubt? Where is there any cause for hesitation to acknowledge? Now we shall begin instructions in the science of yoga. We'll take book 1. So, is your mind fairly clear to some of the aspects of deeper Hindu thought? This is very necessary. Otherwise, you will find confusion right from the beginning. For example, let us begin the sutra and you will see. Book 1. Book 1, you see, unfortunately all of you have not got. Please see that next time you all have it, please. And those who are volunteers, kindly listen. See, the sutra begins. Now we shall begin instructions in the science of yoga. Now we shall begin. Now meaning, up to this moment, we have been talking about sutras. Now we shall talk sutras themselves. You get it? And this translation is by Ellis Bailey, English translation. I found it better than most other translations. Yet, it does not come up to my expectations. So I will read her translation and then tell you as I would like. Now, we begin Sutra 2. It says, yoga is achieved through the subjugation of the psychic nature and the restraint of the chitta. Now, let us read like this as I want. Yoga is rich, is achieved through healing of the psychic nature and the calming of the chitta. Now, we have just seen here in the notes that the three functions in the physical body are parallel with three functions in the psychic body. And these three functions of the two bodies have to be coordinated. You get my point? See the very opening sutra, he says, yoga is achieved through healing of the psychic nature. Now if you do not understand what psychic nature is meant, that is why I have given you today's notes, that the three functions in the psychic body, the astral body, sambhogakaya, and the three functions in the physical body, the nirmanakaya, they are to be coordinated. And the whole thing is a complex system of a human being. That means the human being is a complex system of physical body, astral body, physical brain, astral brain, physical breathing, astral prana intake. So all these functions are to be coordinated to become one human being. You get my point? So, why have I used the word? Yoga is achieved through the healing of the psychic nature. You know, as human beings, when you go through various emotions, through your various heartbreaks, it has ultimately effect on your health. Now the psychic body is so very, what should I say, sensitive, so very sensitive, that there are scars formed on the psychic body. When you feel you are hurt in the physical, your astral body, psychic body, which is scarred. You get that? So it needs healing. So we read the opening sutra as yoga is achieved through the healing of the psychic nature and the calming of the chitta. I am not using the word subjugation or restraint. See, we are forcing nothing. We are healing our psychic nature and we are calming our thinking instrument. The very fact of this statement means that the sage has in mind certain practices. Otherwise, you would not make a statement like this, because to make a statement like this, he expects, or he would rather show, the various practices that will bring about the healing of the psychic body and the calming of the chitta or the thinking instrument. One more point. Chitta is not thinking instrument normally. Chitta is the individual mind, and thinking instrument is the conscious part of the brain. But in a normal human being, individual mind and conscious brain are both involved. Actually, after yoga practices, individual mind is separate and conscious part of the brain functions separately, guided by individual mind. But today, since both are involved, I said chitta or thinking instrument. Remember that. We go to the third one. When this has been accomplished, the yogi knows himself as he is in reality. I'll slightly change it. I read. When this is accomplished, we are still accomplishing, not has been, when we are going to accomplish, when this is accomplished, the person knows himself as he is in reality. As he is in reality. Reality is the upper circle. Upper circle means that he is a divine fragment and not a mass of human flesh. Till now, the inner man has identified himself with his form and with the active modification. What is the inner man? What is the inner man? No, no, no. See, the sage is totally making every point clear. He is using the word the physical man, he is using the word the inner man, and he is using the word the spiritual man. In the same book 1, 18, if you see 18, now I will go to it later, when you have the sutras with you. In 18, what does he say? The consummation of this non-attachment results in an exact knowledge of the spiritual man. So you see the difference now. We come to 16, but he has separated the physical man, the inner man, and the spiritual man. You see the whole complex structure of a human being. The outer man, the inner man, and the spiritual man. He is talking here of the inner man, the psychic nature, the psychic body, the psychic mind, manas. So he says, up till now the inner man has identified himself with his forms and with their active modification. There has been no understanding, no knowledge. Today we have no knowledge whether there is an inner man. Let go the spiritual man. Today we have no knowledge whether we have an inner man, whether the inner man can act with or against the physical man. You have no idea. See? So first is, you have a mental conception that there is an inner man as there is an outer man. And If there is an either man, how shall we bring about communication? You understand me now? So, the inner man, therefore, has done what? Has identified himself with his forms and with the active modifications. Is your mind clear now? Yeah, say something if you have to say.
So, the inner man is our psychic nature.
Our psychic body.
Our psychic body.
The inner man is our psychic body. The whole complex structure of a physical body, a psychic body, a physical brain, a psychic manas, and the spiritual man inside. This whole complex structure is a human being. That is why we use the word psych. We don't use the word astral in scientific term or other conversation.
Do we also use the psychic mind?
Of course, manas. That's a psychic brain, not mind. There is a psychic brain like the physical brain. There is a psychic body like the physical body. One is an outer man, one is an inner man. And both must coordinate all the three important functions. We have just seen those three important functions.
Cognition,
meaning, everything. Yeah. So first we must coordinate in the physical. Then we will coordinate in the psychic. You get my point? Unless we are a perfect system of existence, we are not human beings really. We are not even human beings. We therefore more or less behave like animals sometimes. We see all the world over how people act like animals. Why? Animals have no psychic body individually. Animals have no spiritual man inside individually. If we have no communication with the inner man, if we have no communication with the spiritual man, we are like the animals with having only a physical body. We are not different, and therefore we cannot function or behave any way different from the animals. You see all the world over, how 18 and 16 and 14 year boys carrying automatic and shoot figure happy. See, what is the idea of life? What is the idea of good and evil? Nothing. Because only the physical brain is functioning. Only the physical body is functioning. There is no synchronization of the psychic body, the psychic manas, and there is no communication with the spiritual man. Therefore, we are human beings in shape only, not in function.
Why does
physical body exist and get no influence? Can you give something more about psychic?
How psychic what?
Psychic body and psychic mind.
Functions. Exactly. For that, you have to first know whether there is one. There is something like psychic body. Isn't it? And for that, by certain practices, you should be able to separate the psychic body from your physical, so that you see for yourself, experience for yourself, that there is a psychic body, that is the internal man, the inner man, there is a physical body, that is an external man. Get my point? We shall therefore, Yoga Sutras are not philosophy. Yoga Sutras are practices that lead you to experience. You have to experience this. And not, we are not here for philosophy. So whenever we go deeper into the sutras and practice, at that time we will realize, we have to realize that there is an inner man. We must be able to see that the inner man can come out of it, out of us, and be there. So that we see the inner man, the inner man sees us. Unless we are able to do that as a first elementary step, we cannot go further. That is why I have always told you, whenever you approach the sutras, approach them with great veneration. They are going to make you human beings, real human beings. You may be in name human beings today.
How
okay?
How does this identification happen? I mean, how did the first psychic body identify? What was the real reason behind the identification?
Got the idea? Ask the question. Once upon a time, how did the psychic body first got confused with the physical body? Get the idea? Going back a few billion years, we will not be able to trace it. But going a few months or years ahead, we will be able to trace it. Not a separate psychic body, not a separate spiritual body, spiritual man-within, divine presence, no, not separate, as a cloud of understanding, that's how the animals are guided, there is a cloud of understanding, you see? Okay.
This form is whose form?
The physical. Mind you, in my earlier notes, much earlier, I have always stated that the astral body is the primary body. But don't you remember if you got the earlier notes? And the physical body is secondary. Therefore, the primary body is what? No, the psychic body has identified itself with the physical body. The primary body identifies itself with the secondary body. Because in the physical world, the physical body has to act. So, the psychic body, the primary body, synchronizes. Let me go along as the physical goes. Being primary, it should be able to guide the physical body, which is secondary. But here we have no knowledge of that body. We have no communication with that body. So, the primary cannot take over and guide the secondary. You get my point? Because this is the physical world. After that, we are going into the land of the primary body. After that, we go into the land of the primary body. The physical body has no place. Correct? And we have not practiced in this life to know what the primary body is, what the psychic body is, and therefore, we are in total ignorance there as we are here. And we are born again with the same ignorance, die with the same ignorance, we are reborn with the same ignorance, and it goes on. Till one day we come to the Yoga Sutra to know all this. You get my point? Good. The mind, the thinking instrument, states are five and are subject to pleasure or pain. They are painful or not painful. See the beautiful translation. They are subject to pleasure or pain. They are painful or not painful. Nobody talks of bliss. Nobody talks of total happiness. They are painful or not painful. So our very happy moments are not painful. We do not know what real happiness is. You get my point? Because we have no idea of the psychic body, we have no idea of the spiritual man inside. So till then, all our modifications, good or bad, in our best of moments, happiest moments, earthly moments, we are only in a state of not painful. Otherwise, mostly we are in a state of painful. We don't know what bliss is. We have used the word in the English language as bliss. We don't know it. We have never tasted it. How can we know it? If you have tasted rabri, you might know that it is like that. Or if you have taken tea, you know what it is like. But when you have not tasted a thing, how do you know what it is? Bliss is something which you have never tasted. We have never found anywhere in any form of the world. So our best of moments are not painful. Remember that.
Sir,
yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
Why is it single five?
They'll go. They'll go further. They are painful. The important point to know now is they are painful or not painful. You can't go beyond this state. The state of bliss, the state of total happiness, we don't know. These modifications, that is activities, are correct knowledge, incorrect knowledge, frenzy, passivity or sleep, and memory. These are the five states.